friends you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side with me, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Well, the party they gonna have out in the St. John's Walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live Network broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Now, if you'd like to join us in our live discussions during the program, just dial in and join us at 347-996-5877. That's 347-996-5877. Just dial in and wait for the moderator to bring you on to the show. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, a special show. And I'm going to introduce Jabba Bob and Tom, the man. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the man who put the big back in the Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi, and the man who put the coffee bean back in to the big Jabba Bob coffee man. Good evening, Tom and Jabba Bob. How are you tonight?
Hey, off the hook, my brother. We're rolling through Spokane, Washington, right now as we're speaking to you live right on Highway 90. It's set on the ground. It's 23 degrees.
That's cold.
Yeah, it is. How's things where you're at, Marco?
It's 77 degrees. I got the air conditioner on.
I'm envious. Well, I got to tell you, We were out here in Salem, Oregon last night. Great guy. Met this guy, Joey Lowell, who had that encounter over the weekend up at the rock quarry. We were up there. We experienced what he had experienced, not as much as he did, though, you know, and we saw the whole area and staked it out until 7 o'clock in the morning, from 8 o'clock until last night until 7 o'clock this morning. And as a matter of fact, Charlene Henry came out with a couple of her peeps, and we had one hell of a night. It was quite interesting. We got Java on the line with us. Java, you there? Well, I don't think we got Java on the line, do we?
I don't know. Maybe he's a little late dialing.
Well, he probably's tired. Okay. Well, do we have any of our guests on right now, Marco?
Yes, Tom. We've got Joey. He's on the line. He's ready to come on.
Well, good. Let's just go right to the meat and potatoes. Joey, you there?
Joey, push your six button.
Joey, you on?
I'm here, Tom.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, bud?
Well, we're kind of missing you already, okay? And ladies and gentlemen, I want to please forgive me. I'm not in the studio tonight. Marco Bill is doing it annually, so I'm relying on all of him to get this whole thing working and working like a clock, so please forgive us all. We're rolling. We're talking to you live, ladies and gentlemen, in our rig going down Highway 90 east, okay? So I want you to understand that. So you may be hearing some road noise. That's just the noise from the rig and the cars around us. It's 23 degrees. There's snow on the ground. Well, listen, Joey, first of all, I want to thank you so much for the hospitality you extended to myself and my guys. We love meeting you, and we love that area. But, you know, in case the people did not tune in last week, why don't you recap on that and give them a blow-by-blow what happened last weekend right before you called me?
All right. Well, before I do that, I want to say thanks a lot for inviting me on the show tonight. And I really miss you guys already, too, also, and can't wait for you to get back. And back to the Bigfoot encounters.
Okay.
Well, last week I had went up to a couple of my sighting areas where I've been having encounters and finding evidence and stuff. And I went to a rock quarry, and I was there a total of 5 minutes. And before, and as soon as I got there, basically, I walked over across an area that was supposed to be filled with water, but it had receded, and went over across there to look for some prints. And like I said, not more than 5 minutes there, and all of a sudden, a huge 30-pound boulder came flying off that top of that ridge and hit about 10 feet from me and scared the crap out of me. And
that's literally speaking.
Yeah. And I backed up against the wall there and yelled at my nephew to look up on the ridge and see if he saw anything, and he said he didn't see anything. So I said, well, if you keep looking up there, if you see anything, you let me know. And I beat feet back to the car and for cover, and I looked up there and didn't see anything, or anything like that, and I did a couple of calls, didn't get any response. And so we decided to leave the area and went down the road a little bit and got out and went looking in another area, and we came across an illegal dump site. And while I was going up towards it, I noticed that there was a tree that had a tree break that I had seen in the past that resembled Sasquatch evidence. So I got up there and started looking for prints and I found two 16-inch tracks. They were 5.5 inches at the ball, 8 inches across at the toes. And while we were there, we were taking pictures of them, and we heard a whoop call, and we went and looked for the sound, and it would be my brother Mike and Donnie, a friend of ours, and my nephew Adam. And I said we went up looking for the sound, couldn't find it. Went back to the prints, and again the sound sounded off again, and again we went looking and didn't find anything. So we came back again. Then it dawned on me that whatever was whooping was trying to get me away from that area for some reason. So I decided to stay there until it whooped again. And the next sound we heard was an imitation crow sound. Now, I say imitation crow sound because it didn't sound like a regular crow. It had a higher pitched sound to it. And it did this three times. And after waiting there for 5 or so minutes, we decided that whatever was probably there was probably gone now. So we went ahead and took off and went the rest of the day looking around in the area for further evidence until about dusk, and then as we started back down the mountain to get out of there, I wanted to stop back by that gravel pit there, and we pulled in, got out of the car, we're looking up towards the ridge to see if we could see anything, and off to our left, I think there was a Sasquatch sitting over here by a tree, actually, and he was in thick brush, and we couldn't see him. And he turned and went up the ravine, and as he did, he kicked a bunch of rocks down, and which really scared us again. So we were looking up there trying to see it, and about a minute or so later, up there on the top of the ridge, we could see the silhouette of the Sasquatch standing up there against the tree, looking down at us. And as he was looking down, we were just looking at him in awe, and then all of a sudden he started walking back and forth across the ridge. Sorry about that. That's somebody calling in on my phone. Apologize for that.
Okay.
He started pacing back across the ridge, and so I kept looking, and we all kept gawking for about 10 minutes or so, and then I got a really bad feeling that if we didn't leave, something was about to happen. And because I had my nephew there, I thought, man, we just need to get out of there. And so we got in the car and got out of there. And then I came back home and called Tom there and had his guys come up here and see if we couldn't go up there and get some exciting footage of that Sasquatch.
Joey, this is Java Bob. This is Java Bob. Good to have you on the show. Curious, did you get to see an outline of the face of this creature? Or silhouette?
Yes, we did.
And what was the face like? Because, Charlene Henry has had us up there, and we looked, investigated a sighting that she had a year ago. She didn't, but one of her friends had a year ago. and it was an unusual shape to the head and face. Can you share with us what you saw?
Yeah, when we looked up there, it looked like it had a point. Its head looked like a little pointed on the top. Again, it was getting dark, so we could not. Sorry about that. anyway, we couldn't see any facial features because it was too dark.
Was the face flat? If you saw it from the side, was the face flat?
Well, it was actually too dark to see any facial features whatsoever. I mean, when he stood straight, we could see that his head looked like it had like a triangle effect to it, kind of. But it was really big, wide shoulders, and you could tell that it wasn't a human being. And I don't think any human being is going to be up there, that time. Walking around on a ridge.
So I just got a note from Steve Cole from up there in Oregon and telling me about what he saw there, what was going on. And when I talked to him, he mentioned something about some tracks in the gravel quarry. Are those the tracks you're talking about? Hello? Did I lose you or did you lose me?
Hello, Joey, this is Tom. Are you still there? Well, I guess he's done. No, that's not the area, Bob. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, yeah. We started the show, and we lost you, I guess, and then you came in. Now we just lost Joey. The prints that he's talking about that he saw were older prints, and they were down below the quarry, Bob. They weren't right up there where he saw the creature.
Yeah, I was curious if he was able to show you guys those prints so that you could validate what he was talking about. Or were they too far gone?
The ones that he showed us were the ones that had to have been at least 30 days old, Bob. And they weren't in that specific area. It was down the road, Peace.
Okay. Yeah, there's. I'm hearing some differences between the first sighting that was reported in that area and this sighting now. So I was just kind of curious as to what might be happening there, whether there's several creatures going through or unable to tell at this time.
Well, what's happening is it's very evident that there's more than one, okay? It kind of looks like it's a pod, and it kind of looks to me that it was traveling in a migrational route, okay? Maybe there are some that have taken up refuge in the area. But I got to tell you, this guy's no piker, all right? He's infectious as hell. And, I mean, he'll climb that rock quarry. He did it with our guys last night without a fret at all. And, I mean, he was up for the entire evening's events. And I'm talking about from soup to nuts. And he didn't get any sleep all night long. He
Joey Lowell?
Back. Yeah, Joey, you back on?
Yeah, I'm back on. I don't know what happened. Got cut off somehow.
Well, I guess you've become a celebrity now, Joey. Everybody wants to get a hold of you, so you're paying more attention to the people trying to get you instead of staying focused on doing the show. So, well, let's make a commitment right now, okay? If they keep calling you, just ignore them and stay with us, okay?
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay. I was just telling our listeners and Bob out there, he asked about the tracks, and I told him that the tracks that you showed us yesterday were down the road. They were not the same ones at the quarry. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. All right. Then I was telling him how brave you actually are because you were out there all night with us. You went up on top of that ridge with our guys. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, he's probably one of the only and few people that I know that can take green and wet wood and make a fire because this guy did a hellacious job, kept a bunch of people warm last night. Thank you for that. And by the way, what's the knack to that, doing something like that? Joey, can you tell our listeners?
Oh, you mean getting the fire going?
Well, getting it started in the first place.
Well, basically, if you can find any plastic or anything like that, definitely use that. But if you can find some dry moss, it's called Grandpa's Beard. If you can find any of that, which should be plentiful around there, that's what you use to start the fire with. It works really well.
Yeah. Well, then,
sounds like,
tell you.
You know, if anybody's interested, I got a an update, a short update from Steve Coles on this trip. I just got it this afternoon. I put it on the website, and you can find a picture of Joey there, along with the rest of the crew. And there's some pictures in there that indicate what the weather was like, which really shocked me. Apparently, it was extremely cold, and it doesn't look like the best circumstances to be out and about. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Joey?
It was very cold that night. Any water that was standing in any puddles was frozen, and you could definitely see your breath in the night air there. It was really cold. But whenever we got real, real cold, we just started walking down the road and using the thermal cameras and night vision to scan the sides of the hills, looking for any heat sources and that kind of stuff. And that's what we did to try to warm ourselves up, along with grabbing firewood and stuff to bring back to camp to keep the fire going.
There you go. So anybody after the show that wants to see some very recent pictures of what happened just last night out there, go ahead and go to www.searchingforbigfoot.com and follow the links. And you can see Joey, and you can see the guys out there on the trip, and you can see some pictures that really indicate what the weather was all about.
Yeah, and thanks for that, Bob. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to, while he's talking about the pictures, I don't know if he put it up, there was a white truck that was right across from us on the road that we got there from the gravel pit as we were exiting the first time with the lights still on, that apparently whether a Bigfoot crossed the road and scared these people and it detoured them off of the road into the creek down below, or they zigged when they should have zagged or whatever, but their lights were still on. You can actually see the white rig, the truck, and where they busted out of their back window to get out. So it was kind of amazing, and it all happened during the time we were there. What's your idea on that, Joey?
There's a couple of scenarios that could have happened. Like you said, one, they might have been driving down there and had a Sasquatch, standing on the road or something, and it scared them, and they veered to miss it and just went off the road and that. Or we could have had somebody that was drinking and driving, or somebody that was, driving too fast and lost control, or maybe swerved to miss an animal of some kind. But that's one thing that we also noticed when we were out there. The whole time we were there, we saw no animal life, not even a bird, nothing at all, not even any insect noises, nothing. It was dead quiet.
It's very true, ladies and gentlemen. We have the Squatch Detective, and we've got Brian, our cameraman. They're both on the line. Squatch Detective, why don't you get on the line and tell them what you experienced last night?
Well, greetings there from the other end of the rig.
Hey, Steve-O.
Hey, Jabba Bob, how are you? And hello to Joey out there as well.
How's it going?
Last night was quite interesting, as it's we came into the area. The thing that impressed me the most was the rocks that were coming down the cliff wall. So something was moving up there. Now whether or not it was a Sasquatch or not is really unknown, but whatever there was up there, something was moving up there. I mean, I saw some shadows moving on up there. I know Joey did as well. And it's truly a very creepy night, and it's very true. There was no other animals to be seen. I mean, we had thermal imagers and night vision going, and we couldn't really pick up on any other animals at all. And it was just very quiet, eerily quiet night, and aside from a little bit of wind and being cold, it was just eerily quiet with the occasional rocks dropping here and there. So very, very interesting night.
Speaking of rigs, I see you guys sitting in that rig and setting up some of the high-tech equipment you used for photographing this creature and everything. And Tom, you were in there trying to get warm. I noticed that. I got to tell everybody, our friends here in Sacramento at the Family Affair RV Rentals worked out a deal with Tom and was able to rent us this vehicle. What's it like going in an RV for the first time rather than in a truck where we're packed together inch by inch?
Well, I'll tell you what it's like, Bob. It's like being in the Ritz-Carlton.
okay? It's like being in the Ritz-Carlton. You want to get up and get a soda, you got a soda. Make a sandwich, you make a sandwich. You want to get up and make a potty break, you do that. It's all here on the road. This thing is like living in your, you're sitting in your living room, believe it or not. I'm in a captain's chair in the living room of the rig. TJ is in the captain's chair driving the rig with the GPS and Sirius radio, and he's got his earphones on. He says, I don't want to be bothered. Leave me alone. We got Timmy McMillan up in the top bunk. He's been there since 12 o'clock. We think he died and went to heaven. We've got Brian sitting in the at the table doing his work on the computer. And in the back bedroom is the old crotch detective back there just having a ball. And thinking, my God, where are we here? So I think to answer your question, it's the Ritz-Carlton, Bobby.
Well, that's super. And thanks to our friend Curtis down there, Family Affair, for helping us work out a deal there. I hope we can get to do that again. When I'm up and around, that's the way I want to travel.
Well, we'd love to have you, but for some reason, you've been bum-kicked.
I guess so. I'm down for a while here, but I'm on the mend, and I know that that you got a pretty hectic schedule here. It looks like after this, you're going to be heading towards Montana, and then on up into Canada.
We just crossed over into Idaho right now, Bob. And
so you're on your way.
Yeah, we're going to be seeing your buddy, Don Monroe, about 2 o'clock this morning. He's got some elk stew waiting for us.
Oh, outstanding. Good old Don. He's quite a character.
So we're going to stay there, pit stop for a couple of hours to see him and swap old war stories. And then from there, we're heading up to Browning, up there by our friends, the Blackfeet. And then from there, as you say, we're going to be going to see Rob Ungaro up in Calgary. And then from Calgary, we're going to PA, Pennsylvania, where Eric Altman and the guys has got us a full schedule. And all you guys that you've seen those three bear pictures, and they said it was a creature about 3 weeks ago, we're going to be meeting with that guy and the game warden or the ranger that's had the sighting. And so we're going to be doing all that. And then from there, we're going to go up on some private property, 80 acres, where there's some action going on in Oklahoma right now. And then we're going down there in the Honey Island Swamp area and visit Dana Holyfield. And we're going to be going down there in the Bottomslands with those people down there. I can't wait for that. And then our buddy down there in Alabama is calling up saying, please have the PA come and see us. There's a lot of action happening back here in Chancellor, Alabama. Then, of course, our last leg is up there on the Apache Nation with AK and our extended family over there, Bob.
Oh, that's outstanding. Sounds like even though you're a little bit more comfortable transportation, you're packing a lot in this trip. You guys are busy. Doesn't look like there's much time for relaxing.
Well, there's not, and everybody's detailed, and I got to tell you something. You'd be very proud of Timmy. He has it's his first trip back now in a while with us, and he's back on the. He's got his good foot, you know, good foot forward. All night long with Joey. God bless them. The two of them hit it off real well, and they were up and down that mountain on that cliff. And boy, I'll tell you, you'd been real proud of them. I'll tell you what I want to do. I think we got Brian on the line. Ladies and gentlemen, this guy is our videographer and what have you. He does everything and records everything on video down here, what we do. But what he's done, he's actually set up in our command everything that you can actually see in stationary time. Can you hear it? Brian, are you there?
Yeah, am I on, Tom?
Yeah, you are. Why don't you tell everybody what you did for us last night?
Well, Tom, I kind of took over the surveillance camera situation that was being set up by some of the other professionals that have been on our team in the past. Rex, Howdy Shell, previously worked out a whole surveillance system that is just amazing. And I am now in charge of that since he's not on this trip with us. But, we set up a couple cameras and got it all set up in the RV. We can watch in the warm RV and, outside of the elements. but I think I picked up a little bit of cold last night, standing out in the cold weather for a while, doing surveillance with the thermal imager, just scanning and panning the ridge top of the quarry. Just seemed to be a little too far out of reach to really see anything, but and our hike up to an area where we thought we could reach the top, but it was just too remote to get up there, and we hunkered down, Steve and I, and just listened to the forest for a good 20 minutes and see if we could catch anything. But we really wanted to hear what our local contact heard there, but we didn't hear anything.
Well, you know, Brian, that happens once in a while. You get out and people see things and they're happening then, and you get there just hours later and there's nothing. I mean, that happens to us on occasion. Sometimes we're fortunate and we get to actually verify what they're seeing, and sometimes we're just not able to.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't through no lack of trying. Believe me, we stayed up as long as we could. All the batteries on my cameras died. By that time, I was just done. So that's when I turned in.
Well, I guess if it was easy, everybody would be doing it.
Bob, that's called being spun. they busted their humps, each and every one of them out there. Is Charlene on the line? Charlene Henry, are you on the line?
She's our new grandma, by the way.
Yeah, she is. As a matter of fact, we met the mother. The mother was out there last night, too. Hey, Marco, is she on?
Tom, I think she had to go to another guy's house to get on, and she may have been delayed. So she's coming on. I called her daughter just a little while ago, and she should be coming up.
Okay. Hey, Joey, are you still online?
I'm still here, Tom.
Yeah. You know, ladies, but I got to tell you something. If you're out in that area up there in Salem, contact Joey. He's probably one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet, the friendliest guys you'll ever meet. And all he wants to do is share. And that's an oddity in this industry, okay? He wants to be a part of something. And like I told him, you know, we're there for him and vice versa, I'm sure. But there's a lot of you people up in that area, okay, in the Portland area, in the Salem area, in the Dalles area, okay, in the adjacent areas that are searching for Bigfoot. And all you people, if you were to all join forces together, okay, we can all come to a conclusion on this thing real quick. But what you need to do is say, hey, you know, there's not just me, I, there's we, us, and that's how we're going to do it. And this guy is willing and able, man. He's willing to take you out there, share his hot spots to make it all happen. Could I put it any better way there for you, Joey?
I don't think so, Tom. That's exactly what I want to do. Anybody out there that's listening, you know, I need partners that believe in this and want to prove that it's real. And I don't have any problem taking people out to where I've had encounters and where I've found evidence. I don't believe in hiding any of that stuff from anybody because, you know, we want people to see this thing and experience it because we know it's out there. So the more people that do, the better for us to, you know, prove that it exists. So, yeah, if anybody's out there that wants to go up there and see some of the stuff that I found and maybe get an encounter, yeah, definitely get a hold of me. I will definitely take you.
Fantastic, fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it from the horse's mouth. That was Joey Lowell over there in Salem. And I got to tell you something. You know what, Joey? You can share a campfire with us anytime. You are a true grit kind of guy.
Well, thanks a lot, Tom. I appreciate that.
Yeah. And I think the Squatch wants to say something about his experience there last night with you, Joey. Squatch,
okay.
You on?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you something. Joey is an amazing individual. I mean, the man didn't sleep. The man's level of energy never wavered. I mean, there wasn't, I don't think, a time where he took a break. He was constantly on the move. Heck, that fire he started, we're all sitting up, and what's the chances of him getting that fire started? Before you know it, there was a fire in the middle of this wet wilderness. So, I mean, truly an amazing, what a trooper. And that's, I mean, what more can you say to a guy that'll spend, you know, 14 hours in a day out there, never wavering once, never even peeping or complaining he was tired, or never even showing it for real. So, just amazing.
Man, so, thanks a lot.
Joey,
thanks
my hat's
off. Thanks for that. Well, thank you very much, Squatch. I appreciate the compliment.
Oh, absolutely, my man. You deserve them.
Awesome.
That's
thank
great.
You.
That's great. Yeah. Bob, you got any questions for any of the team members?
Yeah, is TJ around there?
TJ's in the captain's chair, and he can't walk and chew gum right now at the same time.
Okay, all right.
We got the Crotch Detective, we got the Brian, and then we got the one that's half dead. Let's see if I can wake him up. Hey, you want to go on the air? Got Java Bob on the air over here.
Bob?
Yeah, yeah. Like, hold on, I'm going to wake up Mr. Beautiful, Wonderful.
Mr. Wonderful?
Here,
Java Bob. Hey, Java Bob.
Hey, Jimmy, my brother, how you doing?
Hey, Java Bob.
Yeah, how you doing? You sleeping again?
You mean Bill.
Yeah. So what do you think out there? This is a little easier than we used to travel, isn't it?
Oh, man. So much nicer. I can't believe the comfort zone we're in now. Like home.
Yeah, it's good to have you back on the team, boy. I tell you, we've been missing you.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be missed. It's great to be back on the team. I look forward to our experiences out in the bush, and we're going to do what we can to bring this character in.
There you go. So what do you think of your experiences so far on this trip? I know you've only been out a couple of days here, but how does it look out there? I saw the pictures that Steve-O sent back, and it sure looked cold. I mean, it looks like you're in the middle of a blizzard.
Very cold up there and wet, the whole thing. We're really inspired, though, boy. It looks like we've got a full agenda, lots of places to go, people to see, things to do. You know, the whole thing is just going to be a wonderful experience.
Yeah,
hey, you know, why don't
well,
you share, hold on, Bob. Jimmy, why don't you share the experience that you had out there, because you spent the majority of the night out there with Joey. Why don't you share that with our audience?
Well, it's interesting. We kept seeing light through the trees and over the hilltop there, and the moon was backlit behind those trees, and we kept seeing what we thought to be shadows of the creature moving in and out. And it's amazing how your eyes can play tricks on you when you get tired and it's late at night. There's fog and mist and clouds, and you're looking up onto a hill over a cliff edge. Because we were at a quarry there, and they dug the mountain back, and there's the cliff edge. And we're trying to look up over that edge. And, boy, that's tough when you're 70, 80, 90 feet down on the bottom in this quarry, freezing cold, raining on and off, you know, and trying to keep warm by the fire and get your job done up and down the hill at the same time. But overall, it's a pretty darn good experience.
Well, you know, for those of you who don't remember Tim McMillan, when I first started with this group, I went on the very first time I went out when they were on an expedition that I got to tag along before I was really involved. And we came across this cliff face where two very, very credible eyewitnesses said they saw this creature run up the side of this hill. And I'm looking at that saying, it's impossible. There's nothing that could climb up that hill. Bigfoot or not, you just couldn't do it. And Tim McMillan said, well, let me give it a try. And he found a tree that was laying down in a few little places, and he scrambled up that hill, and he made it. And I thought, my gosh, I'm in the presence of the crocodile hunter here. This guy's amazing. Well, that's Tim McMillan, and we're glad to have you back with us.
Bob, you're too kind. Thank you very much.
I know, on both kinds, you're questionable, right?
Yes, exactly.
Hey, Java Bob, this is Joey. I haven't met you yet, but I hope to do it very soon. But what you said about Tim is very true. Man, he was wanting to go up that mountain. I mean, he wasn't even armed with anything. He just wanted to go up that mountain and confront that creature up there no matter what. And I guarantee you, if we could have got to the tip top of that mountain where that creature was, we definitely would have done it. But, man, that terrain up there is extremely thick, you know, briars and just
so much thick vegetation that we just could not get to the tip top of that thing. Very slippery, but man, Tim was really wanting to get up there.
Well, I tell you, if you're going to try it, you get the right people with you. Everybody on this team, it's been my experience that these guys will, whatever is possible, they'll attempt. I mean, they're committed. They're committed to finding this creature. There's no question
yes,
about
I,
it.
That's right, Bob.
Yes.
Hey, Tom,
I agree.
Bob, we have a caller on the line.
Oh, super.
Would you like to take him on right now?
Absolutely. Please.
Area code 903, you're on Bigfoot Live Radio with Tom Viscardi and Java Bob.
Well, hello there, Bigfoot hunters.
Well, hi there. This is Java Bob. Who are we talking to?
This here's the Snake Man.
Oh, hey, how you doing?
Hey, pretty good.
The Snake Man, by the way, has a business down in Texas, and he's been on expedition with us before, and he's helped us search the area and rid the area of dangerous snakes and other reptiles like alligators and things like that. So what's new and exciting in your life, my friend?
Oh, nothing much. I was just so upset that I couldn't be there for this last expedition.
Oh, you and me both. You know how that is. Sometimes you eat the bear, and sometimes the bear eats you.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I just wanted to call and say hello and see what's been going on. Wish you and all the Bigfoot hunters the best holiday season ever.
Well, thank you so much, and the same to you and your new bride.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So you got any plans to get out in the field here in the next few weeks, or you think?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'm hoping.
Going back? Yeah.
Yes,
well, keep
sir.
Us informed, and if you can, take some pictures and send them to me, and I'll get them out on the website.
All righty. I sure will.
That's it. It's
all
awesome
right.
To talk to you.
All right. Thanks. Well, thank you very much, and everybody has a great holiday.
Yeah, same to you, my friend.
All right.
Thank you much.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was nice, the Snake Man. This is a guy who grew up out in Florida and moved his family off to Texas, where he became a licensed animal wrangler, you might say. He goes out and reads the area of dangerous snakes and reptiles and things, and people are out hunting and whatnot, or people might call in and say we have a critter in our backyard, and he's licensed by the state of Texas to go and remove them. Fearless guy when it comes to these kind of animals, too, and does it all by hand. Really talented man. So, Joey, you run into any snakes up there in Oregon? I guess this time of year, there'd be few and far between because of the weather.
Right. Actually, up where we were at up there, there are practically is no snakes at all, maybe a couple of garter-type snakes. But the only snakes that are dangerous that we have here are rattlesnakes, and they're basically over on the east side where it's a lot warmer than over here.
Yeah, but that's the worst place to run into one is where you least expect it.
That is definitely true.
You heard Tom earlier saying he's going to go see a friend of ours over in Idaho, Don Monroe. But Don Monroe is quite a character. For those of you who don't know him, this guy is—he's been all over the world. He's one of the last of the really true adventurers. The kind of guy who will just pack up everything in an overnight bag and take off and be gone a year. You know, just goes wherever the adventure is. And the one thing, the only thing that I've ever seen that makes him nervous is snakes.
Well, you know what? I met Don Monroe down at a powwow they had with Ray Crow's get-together, and Don is a great guy. He's very intelligent, and but you know, the only thing that we have to really worry about up here in Oregon on this side, we do have some scorpions that can give you a pretty good sting, and we also have a hobo spider, which can cause a pretty nasty wound if you get bit by it, but as for critters, I think that's about the only thing that insect-wise that we have to worry about. But the only other thing is cougars. That's about the only thing. Cougars and crazy people.
Crazy people would be the worst. How about black bears?
Yeah, we do have occasional black bears, but they're not. I don't think they're going to bother you. They'll probably take off before you even see them, you know, unless one's extremely malnourished and, you know, doesn't have anything else to do and is just trying to get food any way it can. That's about the only way that I could think of that you would have any problems.
You know what? Out of those three varmints that you just talked about, I'll tell you the ones that I'm scared about. I ain't scared about the one that the first one. I'm not scared about the last one. The one that you sandwiched in between is the ones that I'm worried about. And I think that you call them the crazy people.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only one I'm worried about. The other two I know will run like hell. The ones in the middle, you don't know what to think.
Wait a minute, Tom. Let's be honest here. I got to tell you, this man just blows my mind. He goes out. If he sees a creature, he'll be unarmed. He'll chase after it. If there's bears in the area, he doesn't care. If there's cougars in the area, he doesn't care. If there's snakes, he carries a stick. But he's scared to death of mosquitoes.
Yeah.
Or chiggers.
I'm putting on to that now, crazy people. And all the crazy people that are out there that listen, I'm TO-ing them all to Bob because he's got all the patients in the world. So, Bob, could you please tell them that you'll doctor them?
I'll do my best, boss. I'll do my best.
Hey, Joey, the guys were all saying, well, as we're in the rig coming down the road, boy, it'd been nice to have him with us. And I said, well, I don't know if his wife would let him go. What do you think?
Well, you know what? I think being married 20 years, she probably needs a break from me. So if you want to take me off, if you want to take me off.
So you'd come, huh? Hello?
Did you lose him? Did you lose Joey?
I don't. Joey, did we lose you again?
Apparently so.
I don't know. It's well, we're going through the mountains now, Bob. So I don't know. So I guess maybe we'll just carry it. Did Charlene ever get on?
Didn't hear her come on.
Hey, am I still on here, Tom?
Well, you are now. There you go.
Oh, okay.
We lost you there for a second. But it was curious, Zell, because the boys were saying, well, let's take bets. Let's see. Would he go or would he stay home? And I says, nah. I says, after listening to those stories last night, he'd be here quicker than hell.
You bet.
Was I right?
you were 100% right.
You know what? Stay tuned to your phone, man, because if we give you a call, we'll send you out if we need help. But I'll tell you what, I like what you pack, my friend.
All right, well, sounds good. I'll be waiting.
Yeah. Okay, my brother. Listen, thanks so much. Just listen in. Yeah, I mean, I'm. What the hell? It's we only got about 15, 20 minutes left, and I haven't talked to Bobby in a while. By the way, you guys, our new movie just came that was remastered. Wait till you see the packaging. Wait till you see the movie. It is so off the hook. And if you haven't gotten it yet, go to searchingforbigfoot.com. Get onto our shopping cart. Order this movie. It is incredible. I think it goes online at Amazon.com by the first. But I got to tell you, I looked at it again today in the rig as we're traveling, and I just couldn't believe how it's been enhanced. And it just, you know, we deleted some stuff, added. The packaging is just dynamite. I was looking at the eyes and the eyebrows of the creature on the front cover. You can actually, Bob, see the hairs of the eyebrows. That's
amazing.
How intense it looks.
And you know, Tom, since you were able to work out a deal on this new cut, we were able to put it on sale. That's the best part.
Yes, thank you, Bob.
It's on sale.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you people out there that said, hey, Tom, you know, we'd love to buy it, but can you lower the price? Yes, we have, and we do listen to you, okay? Now we've listened to you. So now you can get it for almost half the price, okay? And the Christmas season is coming up. Order it now. Don't order one. Don't order two. Order three or four and give it to your friends. And if you don't like it, order more and give it to those people you don't like. So just think what you've just done for humanity. My God. What do you think, Marco Bill?
I think it's great, Tom. And I think I'm going to tell you what. I looked at the thing before you got it repackaged, and I thought it was great then. And I'm going to go order the doggone thing tomorrow just so I can see the enhancement.
Oh, hey, I got to tell you something, Marco. Just off the cover, and it shows, you know, the gold leaf of the best winner of the best documentary at the Pocono Film Festival and best director, and we had a lot of that busy crap taken off, and,
and then we cut off a lot of stuff in the beginning and where the darkness was and everything. We go right to the meat and potatoes, and you're on a roller coaster ride as soon as that thing comes on. And you know the good thing is we've got chaptering and authoring, so as soon as you get, you just plug it in, you know, push that thing in, and you can go to, you can skip forward to all different scenes if you want. That's the beautiful thing about it, man. I mean, it's just done so professionally, and thanks to those guys that did it, because it's just one hell of a product we've got now. And it was great before, like you said. Now, it's 5 to 6 times better.
You know, we've never, as many people as that have checked out this movie and seen it, we have never had anything but glowing results from it. People come back and say, that's the most amazing thing I've ever seen, or I was a skeptic before that, and now I've got to rethink it all, or it just changed my life. The only bad thing we ever heard about it was when somebody complained that his wife was getting mad at him because he'd watched it 5 times in one day.
Hey,
and wives will do that, you know.
Charlene, are you on the line?
Who are you looking for?
Charlene Henry was going to call in. I thought I heard her come in, but maybe she didn't. I don't know.
Oh, I hope so. She's a darling, that lady. New grandma, too. She's so pumped up about that. I guess she took time away from her grandbaby, her brand-new grandbaby, to go with you guys out in the field. She's a trooper, I tell you. We met her about a year ago. She called Tom and said she had a friend who had a sighting up there, and we went up to investigate it. The story's on the website. Amazing thing. This guy described this creature that had a kind of a muzzle and a blue, like a blue birthmark on its face. He was he's a bow hunter, and he was in full camo hiding, and this thing came to a wild fruit tree and started eating the fruit in front of him. And when he told me that, I was a little bit skeptical, because I wasn't really familiar with one that had kind of a muzzle. And then, of course, since that time, we've heard of the ones back in back east. Some of them refer to them as the dog-faced creature, or even the Monster of Bray Road, things like that, where they have that kind of muzzle, which totally blew me away. So, I have to give more credence to that now, Charlene's been following us ever since and keeping us informed of what's going on up there, and it's been a real asset to this team. So, neat lady. I hope she gets on real soon so you can hear from her in person.
Yeah, she told me tonight that she was going right back out there again by herself.
Oh, I'm sure she will, too. She's a trooper, I'll tell you. She's a trooper. Her and her sister, too, her sister Toby, goes out with her on occasion. Toby's health is not always the best, but when she's feeling good, she's right out there along with her. So the two of them keep us well informed of what's going on in that area. It's a real treat to have friends like that in the industry. How well do you are you still there, Joey?
Yes, I am.
How well do you know Charlene?
Well, I met Charlene the same time I met Don down at Ray Crow's get together there, and we've gone up to the woods probably 5-6 times or so, and she, like I said, she's a really nice lady, and she loves to go out there and get right in there and try to go up there and find as much evidence as possible, and as long as she's got somebody that trips around the woods with her, you know, she's ready to go, and so that's great for me.
Yeah, she's a trooper. She's had the opportunity to go out by herself. We advise her not to. Make sure she's always got a buddy with her, and so sometimes she'll call and say, I was going to go, but I couldn't get anybody to go with me.
Yeah, yeah, I've got the same problem.
Anyway, we went up there. It's a beautiful area, lots of wilderness, beautiful streams and some heavily forested areas, and just real diverse country, real
yeah,
nice out there.
Yes, that's the thing about that area up there that we were at this last expedition that Tom was on. The creature that is in that area, he has got everything that he needs right there. He has got a river right across from the rock quarry. It's got fresh water. He's got amounts of cover that he can hide in. He's got plenty of food. And I'm sure there's animals in them woods, but I don't know if they're
you know, at, maybe not in that particular area because he's there or whatever. But I know there's lots of deer and, you know, lots of rabbits and raccoons and squirrels and chipmunks and all that kind of thing to feed on, you know, if that's what he chooses. But there's also a lot of berries and you know, all kinds of roots and plants and stuff that they can eat also in that area. So he's got everything that he needs to survive right there, you know, contrary to what some of the scientists or people that I've seen on documentaries say that, oh, they couldn't survive out there. Well, they're just not doing their homework because they can.
Well, you know, there's quite a cave system that runs throughout Oregon. Are there caves in that area?
I haven't got in there to research that area to see if there's any caves yet, but I plan on doing so. I plan on talking to some Indians that are up there on the reservation as soon as I can get a hold of them.
Well, you know, I live in a town called Happy Camp. Happy Camp is 20 miles south of the Oregon border and about 20 miles south of Cave Junction. And there was a sighting at Cave Junction, and I talked to the local First American peoples that lived in that area down in Happy Camp, the Karuk. And they were saying that this creature is one that goes, steps into a cave and comes out in another world. And I thought about that, so I did a little research, and I found that the cave system in Cave Junction, that the town is named after,
uh-huh,
goes all the way up under the entire state of Oregon and comes out at Mount St. Helens.
Oh, wow.
And then one of the largest cave systems in the world is underneath Oregon.
Wow, that's amazing. I did not know that.
Yeah,
wow.
So I'd just be real curious because Tom has told us on many occasions that these creatures will spend a lot of time in caves and they'll travel from one area to another underground. Part of his theory is that's why they generally smell bad, because they spend so much time underground.
Yeah. I also think that they have a gland that they use that smell as a defense to, you know, get people away from them and you know, deter any bear or cougar that might think that they want to tackle one of them away from them. So, the cave system, boy, that's awesome. I want to check that out, and who knows, maybe see if we can't get somebody to go explore that thing. You know, I'd be willing to go.
Well, you want to know somebody who gets into these caves and does a lot of exploration in caves?
Oh, you bet.
That hardy old man, Don Monroe.
Well,
Don Monroe is a spelunker from way back.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to give him a call. I got his number, and I'll have to give him a call and see if he might want to go. We'll make an expedition or something like that one of these times.
There you go. You can tell them Java Bob suggested it.
You bet. You know, when you were talking about that dog-faced creature, I recently got on the Internet and put in there, www.com, have you seen this creature? I think it was at the Seven Falls or something like
that. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sorry about that. I looked at that picture, and if you look at that picture, they say that the creature is holding a dog. And it looks like it is holding a dog, but if you notice,
seven shoots.
Wouldn't you think that if that was a real dog, that dog would be wanting to get away from that creature? If you look at the dog's expression, it's not afraid. So that kind of makes me think that particular picture might be a hoax. So,
well, I don't know. Are you familiar? Are you familiar with the great apes that they have? That they give in zoos and whatnot that they give kittens to, and they get attached to these things?
No.
There's many documented cases where some of the great apes, the gorillas, and the African gorillas, the mountain gorilla, where they get lonely in a cage, and they end up giving them a kitten to play with, and they kind of adopt the kitten. So,
wow.
Who knows what they're capable of? I mean, all I can do is speculate, and that's the best anyone can do.
Right.
My understanding, though, is in that area they were using them for food. And if that's the case, I think that dog would have plenty of reason to be nervous.
Exactly. And there is absolutely no tension in that dog's face. In fact, if you look at the way that the creature is holding the dog, it's actually the same way anybody that would hold a dog that cared for it. You know, it's cuddling it, basically. And, you know, that creature, I have to say, does not look like a Bigfoot at all. It looks basically
well, I gotta,
like
I got to tell you this. On that particular picture, I got a chance to look at the original. And the you cannot make out the expression on the dog's face. In the photo that they put on the web, they kind of enhance its eyes so you can see that it's a dog. But I couldn't tell. There's no way you can see the expression on the dog's face. But clearly there is something there. There's a creature there of some type that doesn't belong there.
Right.
And there's no signs that the that part of that photograph has been doctored or altered in any way. So, like everything else, when you get things like that thrown in your face, it requires somebody with the gumption to get out and look for themselves. And Tom Biscardi has taken this team, and we've gone out in that area to look for the same reason. Now, we didn't find anything there at this point, but we certainly found enough indication, enough people, enough credible people to talk to, and enough food sources, and enough places for them to stay and live, and water and caves and everything that they require, shelter, everything, is there. So it's certainly not beyond the realm of possibility. And
it certainly
has intrigued us, and we want to know more about that. So,
right, and you know that is true. You have to keep an open mind about stuff like this, and anything is possible. You know, anything is possible. So we'll have to see. Hopefully, maybe somebody will get a better picture of it, or maybe even a hunter will accidentally mistake it for something else and shoot it, and we'll have our proof.
Well, you know, I guess Tom, are you still on the line, Tom? Tom's driving he's in the van, so he may not be able to pick us up. But one of the stops I see here is in that general area, and he's probably just going through to see if there are any new updates on that. Now, do you recall that was found in an area across the Canadian border? But
it was on
part of a place called Seven Chutes. It was on part of a, just off of a thing called the Ice Age Trail. Now, the Ice Age Trail moves on down into the United States. Now, do you recall that story about the guy who had a contract picking up roadkill for the state? And he had picked up a deer, put it in the back of his truck, and he was filling out his paperwork. And he looked in the rearview mirror, and some creature came along and picked that deer up and took it out of his truck and disappeared with it.
Yes, I am familiar with that.
Yeah, that story's on our website as well. Well, that's at the other end of that same trail, the Ice Age Trail.
Wow.
So, and he too said it had more of a muzzle-shaped face.
Maybe that might be caused from some inbreeding, or maybe it might be caused from the ones that are up here to the north, maybe mating with the ones that are down there from the south, because the ones up here and the ones down there don't really look a lot alike.
Well, you know, we see that too. Different parts of the country, they look a little different. And some places where they've been trapped by civilization surrounding the areas they're in, now they're finding them with three toes and things like that. And that's one of the very first things to show signs of inbreeding are the digits, the hands, the toes, that kind of thing. So it's important that we can bring this mystery to fruition so that if we need to, we can actually protect the migration paths of these creatures so that we don't lose them. I mean, they're very rare, they're very smart, and they have a right to exist. And if we can do anything to help that, we want to do it.
Yeah.
So, anybody out there has some information for us, please give us a call and share it with us, and let's see if we can help this thing.
Yes, definitely.
Well, Marco Bill, how are we doing on time? I think we probably about used up another night, haven't we? This goes so fast.
How does the time go?
I just don't. You know, I could talk about this stuff forever. So.
Yeah, me too. Well, I've enjoyed being on the show and talking with people and hearing from Tom again. Even though it wasn't that long ago we talked, but hey, I still miss the guys. They're great guys, and I look forward to meeting you, Jabba Bob, and you, Marco.
Well, thank you, Joey. I think we're out of time. So, and Joey, I appreciate it. And next time I'm up there, I'll make a point of stopping in.
Okay, my friend. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye, Marco Bill. Marco Bell, it's up to you to close us down.
Okay, and I wish everybody a real, real good holiday here coming up. And don't forget, if you got an RV, a family affair, they got stuff that's really great.
And you better believe it. There's a note for them on our website, too. So good night, everybody, and thank you for listening in. We'll talk to you again in just a few days.
And keep those eyes open.
Good night, Tom. And good night, Joey.
Good night.
Good night.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests, Java Bob and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a goal and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monster, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. What brought them together? Reason for the fact.